welcome to the Soccer Coaching Podcast, brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly, reflecting our shared ambition to help coaches have the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. We hope you enjoyed this episode and thanks for listening. James, welcome back to the podcast. I think this is your hat trick, is it?
It is, third time. Thank you for having me.
And for some reason, we managed to time it when it's nice and sunny and we've got beers.
Indeed. Yeah, well,
there's a theme.
Yeah.
All right, well, part of this is me to give you some therapy because this is being recorded after the cup final. How was yesterday?
Yesterday was great. Really good day at Wembley. Two obviously very, very good teams. I'm not going to tell you.
You're being very polite.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
That's not what you said off air.
I'm not going to tell you who I was supporting, but let's just say I'm a little bit disappointed today. But there we are. I'll leave that one there.
I've watched the 4 minutes highlights, and there wasn't actually that much in the 4 minute highlights from either team. There was the goals and a couple of other half chances. Was it a managed game by City?
I kind of felt that City probably had another gear to go to if they needed it. You know, you could get out, and I won't go into individual performances or what could have, you know, been better from United's perspective or whatever. But we give them a good game, and yeah, as I say, you know, United aren't at City's level. Yeah. But if you'd have said to me this time a year ago when we were sat here drinking beer, in 12 months you'll have been to an FA Cup final, you'll have finished third in the league, and you'll have won a League Cup. I'd have put your hand up for that, to be honest. Absolutely, yeah.
It's not bad, yeah. Fair play. Okay, well, enough of that talk. Let's get back to the serious stuff.
Yes, indeed.
Grassroots football. Okay, so thank you for agreeing to do this one, because I think it's a good one for us to reflect back on, but also I think people get some value out of hearing about other coaches' journeys and looking back on a season. So you've just finished the under-14 season, so if you're happy, the idea of this is to look back, kind of think about how things were at the start, how it went through the journey, and then what your thoughts are now, and then you've got to the end of the season. Sound okay?
Perfect, yeah, absolutely.
I think if people want to know a bit about you and your coaching journey, to save, you know, using time up now on this episode, I think you were on episode number 8 and also 86, so if people want to reflect back on those episodes, they can have a listen and see that and get a view for that. But before we get into the season itself, I think what might be interesting is just a little bit about more about your coaching philosophy and whether or not what it was or is, and if that's changed at all since we last spoke.
Yes. It's not changed. My philosophy is the same as before, which is effectively development and enjoyment. Ultimately, that will always be the two things that I will.
For you or for the players?
I think I'm past developing, to be honest. No, definitely for the players.
Yeah.
You know, we've been on a journey with this team for a few years, but I genuinely think that we do go back to those two things. You know, it's been great to win the cup. It's been great to win a trophy. It's been great to see, you know, the team move to the next level. But if they're not developing and they're not enjoying themselves, then as a coach, I think you've probably got it wrong. Now, I think I said on the last one that enjoyment is probably different for different boys, different teams, different levels. I think our boys enjoy and get a lot of enjoyment from the competitive element of it. I think they enjoy being pushed to work hard. That's not the same for every team though, and you, I think as a coach you've got to find out what the individual boys and what your team enjoy, and there's no right or wrong. If they just want to turn up and be social with their mates, there's not a problem with that. If that's what they enjoy, great, coach around that. But if they want to be pushed that little bit harder and they want to go and compete for trophies, then great, coach around that.
Do you feel that's half the challenge, is trying to get a squad of players together that have a common theme around what they enjoy? Because I think it's a good point, because you hear about, oh, it's got to be fun, it's got to be enjoyable, and you can't disagree with that, right, as a coach, otherwise you won't get the engagement from the players. But actually what one player finds fun and enjoyable isn't the same as what other player finds fun and enjoyable, is it? So how important is it, I guess, to have a collective of players where actually they enjoy the same kind of stuff, in a sense of maybe the same level of challenge and the same level of commitment and those kind of things?
I think it's tough, and you know, you know my team, because you've worked with us and your son plays in it. So the vast majority want that competitive element. They want to be pushed. But there are a few who maybe have been a bit slower to come to that, etc. So I think it's definitely tough. I think you have to try and find the right balance. But what I do think is, as you move through the age groups, it almost filters itself. So I think when we were under 7s, 8s, 9s, it was probably tougher. But now we've got to sort of under 14s going into under 15s. I think we've got a pretty like-minded group.
Yeah.
And I do think it, as I say, it probably looks after itself. As you go through the ages.
Okay, so let's now get into the nitty-gritty of the season itself.
Yes.
So let's wind back actually, because so this has been the under 14 season for you. You've had this team since under sixes. So maybe if you can in 2 minutes take us. From under sixes to like maybe the end of under 13 season, and how that's been in the sense of, you know, having a core base of players, you know, trying to build on that and stuff like that, so people get a sense of kind of where the team was okay. At the start of the season.
Yeah, okay. So
pretty sure it's not easy to do.
No, I'll do my best. Under sixes, yeah, core group of players. We were pretty much all from, I think all the boys were from the village that we live in, right? We had 7 boys at that age group, all from within the village. Good footballers. Was lucky to inherit a group of lads who, even at that age, probably had a something about them. They could play a little bit, and they wanted to play as well. They enjoyed their football even at that age. As we've progressed through the different age groups, obviously as we've gone from 5s to 7s to 9s, boys have come in. I think this team have always been, they've always been good footballers. They've always been very capable technically, and as I say, enjoyed their football. We're probably very nice to play against for a time. What we've been through in the last couple of years, and you know this because you've come in and helped me, is we've added a bit more of a backbone, I think, to the team. And we've become a little bit more resilient. We've become a little bit more competitive. I think maybe in the past there were times when if things didn't go our way, we would have characters and players within the team who might like to hide or wouldn't rise to that challenge. But I think what really pleases me about this team is that the core group of boys that we had at under sixes are still with the team.
Yeah.
And in fact, even now with a squad of what will be 17, I think roughly off the top of my head, 9 or 10, all still live within the village or go to school together. And that really, really pleases me more than a lot of things, to be honest.
So that sets the scene quite nice. This is like a community grassroots club. It's a team where, in essence, you try to keep the core that you had at under six, under sevens, added in that where you can. Some recruitment from the, because we stream at the club we're at, so some B team players move up,
yep.
You know, and you know the streaming happens. And then where you happen to have to do it from the B team, then you look to recruit from outside and add in where we need to, particularly when you shift through the different phases where you go from 7s to 9s and 9s to 11s. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, fantastic. All right, so at the start of the under 13 season, and I don't know if you want to go back to under 12s, it depends on whether you want to go back another season before, but roughly, you know, where were the team at before you started this season? You know, what do you see some of the challenges? What were some of the challenges and what were some of your hopes?
So, at under 12, we won the league, but this was a league that was interrupted by COVID. The league, they'd done quite a good job, actually, of resurrecting it after we came out of lockdown, etc. We won that league. It was a great thing for the boys. It didn't feel like a full season winning the league. I don't want to give allegiances away here, but if I was a Liverpool fan, it might feel the same in their COVID-interrupted Premier League. It's not quite the same as a full season go out and
win.
Apologies to anyone listening who doesn't agree with me. But last season we also came very close in the league. This is under 13s. We got to roughly within a game. We had a big game, if you remember, that was played in a lovely National League ground on a Monday night. If we'd have won that game, we'd have probably won the league. We ended up losing it 1-0. And I think at under 13s, that's when I mentioned before, we'd started to embed that sort of character. We'd embedded our behaviours, and we spoke to the boys about expectations. And as I say, the behaviours that we want in our team. And the boys had owned this, so it wasn't something that we'd forced onto them. It was something that they'd bought into and owned. And we were close. So I think my hopes at the start of the under 14 season was to win the league. That's what I really wanted to do. At the start of the season, I also wanted to continue embedding those behaviours. And I kind of thought maybe it was a transitional season. And I think it has been a transitional season. You know, we've had some boys leave us.
There was some player movement, wasn't there? Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, we won't name names, but because that wasn't necessarily factored into the plan, was it? That this process, I guess, started in earnest 2 seasons ago, didn't it? When we wanted to talk about maybe how we add in the great football, but also add in a bit more maybe robustness in the team and trying to, you know, get over the line some of those bigger games. And that process started at the start of under 13s. And like I said, there was definitely encouragement and good signs there, and we came very close. But then, unfortunately, we had a bit of surprise, maybe with some players for different reasons that moved away.
Yeah, and you know, there was some, as you say, there was some movement. There was some boys, I think, who probably just didn't like the direction that we were going in terms of they were really good footballers, really, really good footballers. You know, let's be honest, they were very, very good. But maybe didn't have that sort of desire, if you like, in a few areas that we were looking for. And they went the separate ways, and that's fine. And I genuinely wish them good luck in their football careers.
Maybe it's worth adding here, no one was asked to move.
No, no.
That's
of course.
You know, it was definitely a case of we set an environment that the boys agreed on, and we worked towards that. And for one or two, it was just a bit difficult for them to kind of readjust maybe a mindset to actually, oh, I've really got to work hard now. And although I'm really great, I've also got a proper shift in as well. And they struggle with that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely that. And, you know, there's no animosity, negativity around it. It was just a parting of the ways, and a few boys came in. But I think the important thing to mention is that although we really drove this these expectations and these behaviours in the boys, and you know, it was a desire to be competitive, it was a desire to improve yourselves, it was to give them a bit of resilience to play with more intensity, there were a couple of boys in there, two or three, who I thought they're not going to like this, they're not going to rise to the challenge, but they really did. And I mean, you know the boys I'm talking about, right? But these boys who I actually looked at and thought, I don't think that they'll embrace this, they did, and they've just become, they've probably had their best season, haven't they, in 8 years. So I really think it's worked. And for the one or two that didn't like it, okay, that's great. But, you know, for every one of those, there's a success story as well. And I do think that those boys who have come on that journey and developed probably added that little bit of extra we needed to get over the line this season. So the cup win, for example.
Definitely. Okay, so your hope start of the season was really to build on what you've done at under 13s, and then, you know, really the league was the first ambition, really, to try and finish top of the league, because it's a strong team, close last time, and try and get over the line. Okay, fantastic. All right, well, we won't do a spoiler just yet. We'll get to that. We'll tease this one along. All right, so what did you do then throughout the season to try and make this happen?
Well, I think what happened was, we go back to the end of last season, and everyone has an end of season presentation and awards. Actually, what we did was shape our awards around those behaviours. So instead of having player of the year or top goal scorer or whatever, we had, and I'm trying to think back from memory here, but we gave an award for the desire to compete. So actually the person who comes, brings it every week in training and games, who's the most competitive, who gives 110% every week, week in, week out, who's the most consistent. We gave an award around that key behaviour for us. We gave an award around, we call it desire to improve. Others might call it most improved player. But who's really, really worked at their game to go up to the next level? Or in that individual's case, probably two levels. We also, I'm trying to think back as I say, but effectively we shaped our awards around those. And we'll do the same this season. It's worked for us, so I don't see any need to change it. So that first and foremost we did that, and then I think this season we built sessions around the things that we were trying to the behaviours we were trying to embrace and embed, right? So of course it's all focused around the football, but we had our principles of play. We wanted to be a very, very, very good footballing team. We wanted to dominate the ball, so we built sessions around that. We also wanted to be very competitive and hard to beat, so we built sessions around that as well. So we structured the sessions according to, I guess, the principles of play that we had and the way we wanted the team to play. So that would be number one. But what we did do as well is we took some time, and you know this as well because you were pivotal to it, but we took some time now and again, not every training session, but you know, on a reasonably regular basis, to say to the boys, right, just come in, lads, come and have a sit down and we'll have a chat with you. And we took them through sometimes the, again, reinforce those behaviours, reinforce the expectations, and we let them lead it. So we'd set it up. Okay, lads, go and have 5 minutes, just talk in a couple of groups here, and come back and tell us what, say, for example, what does a cut win inside, what do they show, what behaviours do they show? And they come back and they tell us, and we go, okay, yeah, great. And of course, once or twice you'd lead them down a particular direction, but they knew this stuff, they know this stuff, and they I think letting it come from them has given them that sense of ownership of it as well. So that's what I think we did to take us in the direction that we wanted to go.
So I guess there's two parts to that. So you've kind of got the practical on the grass stuff, so building your sessions around the themes that you think are important to you, and you had like almost like classroom stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm not asking this question, I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How did the boys embrace the classroom sessions? I mean, and when I say classroom, we'll spill out. So we were fortunate to have an indoor training opportunity for most of the season. So we had some space where we could kind of set the boys aside and use whiteboards, couldn't we? So not everyone could do that, especially in the winter months. So we had that luxury, which is great. And also what we did was we extended the training session by half an hour, didn't we? So the 30 minutes we might spend, say, 2 15-minute breakout groups, it wouldn't cost the boys their boys the ball time. So that it would be an extra session that obviously the parents would agree to. So you'd have that. But let's be honest, how did it go with the boys, the breakout classroomy stuff?
It went really, really well. Now, I mean, within that, look, you've got boys with different characters and attention.
Some liked
spans,
it more than others.
I mean, listen, I wasn't the most studious, and I certainly didn't have the greatest attention span. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got one GCSE and I'm clinging on to it for dear life, but it's hard, right? Because they want to turn up and play football, and you've got a different, you know, you've got the same boys potentially answering questions every week, the same boys at the front. I won't name them, but you know who they're going to be. You know who the boys are going to be sat there and sort of picking the black bits out of the 4G. And
it's reaching those ones, isn't that? It's the challenge to reach those ones that actually need to engage in that moment a bit more.
Ask them questions, you know, ask them the questions. So, for example, so-and-so, what do you think about this? And actually, when you ask them, they'll give you a reasonably good answer, won't they?
Definitely.
But it is trying to keep them all engaged. And I think the key is as well, you know, you and I can talk for Great Britain, right? So we have to check ourselves sometimes. But I think the key is making sure that we keep it relatively short and sweet. 10, 15 minutes. Like you say, extend the session maybe a little bit so they don't lose out of the ball time, then get them back out playing football. But it worked, right? I mean, you know, you could even, there's different ways you could do it. You could do 5 minutes every week, you could do 10 or 15 minutes every 2 or 3 weeks. But just if anyone was thinking of doing it, and like you say, it's a little bit of a classroom thing, keep it a bit lighthearted and a bit of a laugh, and make sure that you're including everybody would be my advice on that one.
And you had maybe 15, 16, 17 players each week. Were they working one group? Would you break them up a little bit? Would you get them?
We'd bring them all together and talk to them in one go. But actually, a lot of the time, what we would do is have breakouts. Right, lads, here's your two key questions. Group of five over there, group of five over there, group of five over there. Go away. You've got 3 minutes. Jot these down on a board, and then we'll get you up to tell them. And they do it. And then, okay, at the end of the time, come and stand at the front and tell us what you've written. And they're pretty good at it. You know, they're used to classroom environments, aren't they? So, and the answers that you get back were really good, I think.
What kind of questions? And this may be unfair, I don't know if you got it, but do you remember what we asked them? I'm trying to think myself. It's not a leading question.
I'm just trying to think
what kind of things were we asked. I think one of it was about. Well, I remember us asking the boys what kind of team they wanted to be.
Yep.
Do you remember that? So because the important message to the boys is like, it's your team. We're here to try and facilitate and help you be this kind of team you want to be. But tell us what you want, and then, you know, what might that require from you guys then, so we know how to help you. That was
exactly. And that comes back to the enjoyment piece, though, right? Doesn't it? Is that we know then from what they've come back with, we know, okay, well, they want to be this team. They want to be the team that goes and wins trophies, or they want to be the team that they you know, it's social first, football second, or they want to be the team that. Whatever it would be, and that actually makes you realise that, okay, this is what their key motivation for coming and playing football is, so we'll coach to that. And there's no, like I said before, there's no right or wrong answer to that, but our group of boys said, well, no, actually, we want to kick on and win trophies, so we structured around that. But I think a lot of the things we were doing were around their mentality, wasn't it, around what makes a winning mentality. So I remember we did one session, I say did one session where we had the group split up and we said, right, group A over there, you go and tell us what personality traits winners have. What's a winning mentality? This group over here, you go and tell us what traits a losing mentality would be. And that group over there, you go and put some footballers to their name. So what would you know, if you had these sort of traits, which footballers would you say behave like this, right? So you know, who throws the losing mentality, who throws their arms up in the air, sits on the floor and hits the grass? Or Cristiano Ronaldo, yeah, of course he does. You know, who's likely to be the one that when their team's a goal down in the cup final after 18 seconds, who's likely to be the one G'ing them up and pulling them together? Yeah, well, you know, Casemiro might do that, for example. Again, don't mean to give away any allegiances here, but that, you know, and we got them to do that, didn't we? And they came back and they gave us some really good answers. And I just think it's really valuable, because as we went into, and we'll come on to this obviously later, as we went into the back end of the season, we started to talk more and more and more about mentality, and they knew this stuff. They knew it inside out.
Yeah, and I think that's the important bit, isn't it? It's like you ask any kid probably, what do you want to be? Do you want to be the team that wins stuff or not? They're going to say, yes, players want to win stuff. Thanks very much. But then the most important question, right, what does that require, isn't it? That is that, what does it take to do that? You know, and recognising, okay, and do you really want to do that? Because actually, we all want to win stuff, but are you prepared to turn up every week to sessions? Are you going to put the shift in? Are you going to bounce up when you get injured? Are you going to encourage? Are you going to dig deep when you're a goal down and stuff like that? And I think by shining a light on it, like you say, all the players know the answers, really. They know this stuff. But actually, by shining a light on it, it just makes them realise, oh, okay, I get, actually, we've got to do something now about it.
What else I think, or the other thing I think it did, was it almost made those lads who weren't doing it a little bit, not embarrassed, because you don't want kids to be embarrassed, but it made them also realise that if they weren't doing this stuff, they were probably letting their team down and their teammates. You know, if you've got 80% pulling in one direction and you're the
you look a bit silly for the couple that aren't doing it.
So it drags them along with them, because they don't want to be seen to be the one that has a losing mentality in a team full of winners.
Well, I'd forgotten actually, but do you remember, was this on Star 113 when we did the soldiers, sheep and spy thing? So yeah, that was part of that, wasn't it, really, about saying, you know, what are you kind of thing, and, you know, what do we need? And actually, and the team were never like that, really, but it just helped us to, they are all mates, which is great, but sometimes when you've got, like, mates together, that can also, as a coach, it's
obstacle to get over,
you know. Brilliant. Okay, well, that showed that bit then. And then just on the sessions themselves then, can you remember any of the sessions that you did? Because I know Coach One knows, okay, so we did some sessions, but, you know, what sessions we did and how you did it, in the sense of maybe coaching some of the behaviour stuff that you wanted to improve. So if you're trying to improve maybe resilience or desire to compete, or just, I don't know, intensity, do you remember anything that we did in practice? And again, I'm dumping a little bit, but if you can think of anything.
Do you know what? Particular sessions, I'm trying to think back now, but I know what we did do. So for example, with resilience, we tried to make things hard for the boys. We tried to make things where if they went down for a free kick, you'd literally have had to been run over by a motorbike to get a free kick in our team, right, in training. We're not giving. If you're injured, and we're not, you know, we're adults, so we know if someone's really hurt or not, and we'd never obviously leave anybody who was hurt. But actually, if someone goes down with a slight knock or an injury and wants a bit of attention, no, up on your feet. Come on, up on your feet. We're not coming. We're not running 40 yards over there to you because someone's trodden your little toe. So little things like that to improve the resilience. I think the thinking back.
Did you change the structure of the sessions at all? I mean, how did they? I mean, again, under 12s, I didn't see as much of that. Obviously, 13s, I'm trying to think what we changed. The free play thing, the minute to win it kind of stuff. Was that stuff, do you think, had an impact?
Yeah. I mean, we've done free play for a long time. Yep. But actually, we took it to a new level, I think, by introducing, firstly, maybe swap the winners go on to pitch A, losers
so got winners
to pitch
losers things straight away. So winners, free losers play, but
straight away. Yeah. Then we had the minute to win it, where actually you'll let's say we had 15 boys who had been playing free play. You might have had two. Got to get my maths right here. You might have had two games with a magic man or something along those lines, and then all of a sudden you've got three teams of five and you've got a minute to win a game, and if you're the defending team and you don't win it, off you come. So adds a little bit of element of competitiveness in there as well. So yeah, there was, I think, slight changes that made a big difference. And back up, cheers for the beer, mate.
Good weight of skills.
Yeah, indeed.
The other 14's well trained.
Yeah, and obviously,
because look, and I know obviously it's hard because I've seen it, you know, you do it. I think people listening, it's just trying to create that sense of sometimes it's the little things make a big difference, don't they? And it's not nothing's revolutionary there about just, but actually by running a free play session that just is a little bit more focused on winning and losing, straight away you've introduced that competitive element rather than just free play. And we love free play, right? And it's been a big thing in for us and the teams for a long time. But actually in the younger age groups, you can probably just put free play on, it's okay. But as they get a little bit older, actually adding in a winning or losing pitch, you know, suddenly I want to be on a loser's pitch, I want to be the winner's pitch.
It just ramps up
a bit more.
It's got to be age appropriate, hasn't it, like you say, I think. But, you know, I've always thought, and I've always said this to you, and you know, from as long as I've known you, that for me, I think, success for me as a coach isn't about the trophies I win. I want to win some trophies. It's lovely for the boys. It's lovely to create memories. But success for me is that when I'm 55 years old or whatever, and it's not that far away, but in a few years' time, I want to go to my local club and watch some of the lads I coach play. And or, you know, whatever level that they end up at, whether that is semi-professional, whatever it would be. If I go and watch them play and they're enjoying their football, I genuinely think I've done my job as a coach. Now, look, like I say, if we can add some nice memories in there for them, then fantastic. But, yeah, that's the biggest measure for me as a coach. If of this squad of 16, 17 boys, if 12 or 13 are still playing football at 21, 22, 23 at a good level, then I feel like I've done my bit towards that.
That lifelong love for the game.
Indeed.
And part of that, yeah, fantastic, yeah.
You know, and I think as well, that only comes from if you've enjoyed your kids' football. So I know a team who had some really, really talented footballers, coaches on their back all the time, and they finished now at youth football. And as far as I know, there's only about three or four of them still playing because the rest of them just had enough.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder who the coach's priority was, right? Was it their journey or was it the kids' journey? Because actually, if the kids aren't enjoying it, and it's again, it's back to your first point about your philosophy of development and enjoyment. It's getting that balance right, isn't it, by making sure that you're developing, but also not going so far that the enjoyment disappears away.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, we're adults, right? And so you like to think that you can look at things objectively, but if you didn't enjoy doing something, would you do it?
No, exactly. You wouldn't do it very well, would you?
You wouldn't do it very well, indeed.
Okay, fantastic, brilliant, thank you for that. Look, we're going to come on to trophies a bit later on, because you're right about trophies in some ways being absolute nonsense, but in some ways being an important part of the journey, but we'll come on to that. So, reflecting back then, what worked well? We'll do what didn't work well later on the next question, but this one, just what we're looking at now, we think, actually, you know, that was, I'm pleased we did that, and I'm pleased that happened and it worked well, and why did it work?
So I think for many years before you and I worked together on the team, I'd always focused on the football, and rightly or wrongly the football's probably the bit that I am much more comfortable with than the psychological element of it, right? So I'd always worked on the football, and we had really good footballers, and they were a joy to work with, but as I mentioned earlier, we didn't have that sort of just that little extra edge to get us over the line when it came to winning the big games. And I think the key for us this season has been adding that. And so I think the thing that worked well for us the most was that under 13s we started on that journey. You mentioned soldiers, sheep and spies, and we spoke about the behaviours. I think embedding that, and really at 13s that was probably the bit we focused on as much as the football, right? And yet we had, as I say, we had some player movement because of it. But the thing that worked well the most, I think, this season is whilst we switched more of our focus back to how we play and back to the football, we kept reiterating those behaviours. We kept making sure, you know, we had one or two boys come in, didn't we, this season as well. We kept making sure that they absolutely, first thing they bought into was, these are the minimum expectations. Come and work, come with the right attitude. And as soon as you do that, your football will get better. And I think, like I say, not just the boys that we had previously, but the boys that came in as well, I genuinely think that they've improved, because actually the foundation to everything was, come and work hard, come and enjoy your football, come and work hard, come with the right attitude, and you'll get better. And that's the thing, the blending of the football and the ability that they had, and then adding the character and understand the expectations. That's the bit that got us over the line this season, without a doubt.
And it's worth just repeating that a little bit, that this was a good footballing team. They were really good. They were a good team, have been a good team since the very beginning. So they were a decent team. So this wasn't like this was a team where actually you got it's a car crash and how do we get them to win games.
Yeah, it was
just about really actually always getting close. Sometimes getting there, definitely. But you kind of always felt like in the big games against the big, robust team, we might struggle. And actually, footballing-wise, not a problem, but just that character wasn't that. That was a challenge.
They're nice
really.
Kids, right?
They're nice kids.
Yep. They come from a nice area. When you go into inner London and play against teams who don't have it quite as nice, then these teams are going to be at you straight away. And we had to learn to deal with that.
Yeah.
And we had to learn to find a way to win against that, right? So that's what they've added. And it worked for us.
Do you think if we had all the players here now, we asked them individually what our three core values are, would they know them?
I think they would, yeah.
I think so too,
yeah.
100%. Do you think if we asked them what our six behaviours are, do you think they know them?
I think the majority would.
Yeah.
I think there might be a few characters in there who still maybe aren't 100%.
They'd get four out of the six and guess a couple kind of thing.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But do you know what? I think...
But that's okay, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. I mean...
I think so.
I wonder... Look, I don't know whether or not other coaches would agree this has any value at all. Maybe they see it differently. But I think if you do think this has potential as a value in it, and you maybe even do this, it only really works if you kind of really stay on it, isn't it? And almost hammer it home every session. I'm a broken record with this stuff on. I go on about it. And even then, you don't get through to every player all the time. But you've got to show the players that this isn't like just a whim for this week and we'll pick up again in 6 months' time or it's in our start of season notes and we won't touch it again. You've really got to bash it over the heads again and again and again if you believe in it. You know, and then suddenly the players recognise, oh, this is important to the coaches and I better start trying to demonstrate some of these things. And I get why we're doing it, because that's what we agreed to do, is being part of a team one and the process. It's the repetition, I guess.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And I'm not going to move away from it. And I know you're going to come on to a question around next season, but it still underpins everything for me. But do you know what? I'm going to go off pissed here a little bit. Sorry, that's the beer talking. I'm going to go off.
You might do both.
I'm going to go off piste a little bit and ask you a question, if that's all right. But obviously, you'd seen a lot of the team before you came to help us at under 13s.
Yeah.
Did you think it was harder to embed those behaviours and expectations than you thought it would be, having watched the boys over a number of years previously?
Absolutely, much harder. I think maybe a certain sense of arrogance, maybe a certain sense of overconfidence, a certain sense of naivety. I thought watching them, because at under 12s, I wasn't really coaching too much. I was coaching the girls team a little bit, but not much at weekends. So I was around and I watched some of the sessions from the younger ones and from your boys as well. And I'd watch and I think it's good. But I thought, training's a bit too easy. I see boys score easy goals. You know, I just see it a little bit like it was good and it was there and you're explaining stuff and I could get where you're coming from, and I see some of the boys not listening. I'd get frustrated from the sidelines thinking, this, you know, you listen with your eyes and your ears and ask good questions, and it'd be the same couple of boys that maybe pay attention and the same ones not. I'd see you're technically your strongest boys there, really good, great players. But attitude wasn't how I'd want it to be, you know, and it wasn't my team. You know, and I still the players team, but you were leading it, and I'd get frustrated for you, like with saying something, you know. And I thought, you know, if we have a conversation and you're up for it, then maybe just that missing piece of the puzzle, not even necessarily missing, but just the piece of the puzzle that could do a little bit of realignment would be around some of this, just this approach to their football, you know, and understanding what they've got as you, as their coach, and where they are and how far they've come, and just to get over that line a little bit. And I thought, give me 3 months with that and some messages and we'll be fine. And I think 18 months and I'm probably three quarters of the way of how I'd like. I think, we'll come on to that, but it definitely was tougher. Yeah.
And I think that would be...
I learnt loads.
That would be a really good message as well, I think, because I knew that my strength was around the football. I didn't realise how... What's the word I'm looking for? Not a weakness, but how much I needed help on that psychological behaviours type of element to it, right? And obviously you and I had that conversation, and I tried with this. I tried to put this thing in where I say to the boys, right, we own it is our mantra. We own our performance. We own how we turn up and train. We own our attitude. But what I needed was some real help to get over the line to, how do I embed it with all of them? How do I get all of them on board? And that's where, obviously, I turned to you. And it's been a huge success, as I say. And I think, like we said, we lost a few boys along the way who, like you say, maybe were the ones that you'd been watching from the sideline and thinking, well, that it's the same characters you want engaged, and it was tough and it was hard, but I've also learned a lot from it as a coach. In the last couple of years, I think I've probably learned more on my coaching journey than I had in the 8 or 9 years before. But I think if there's anybody out there who is listening to this and thinks that they maybe need a hand in, you know, a particular area, whatever that may be, then actually, just, you know what, swallow your pride, just go and do it, because you'll get the rewards, and more importantly, the boys will get the rewards.
I don't think any coach has got every plate spun around there. You must be so, especially grassroots. I mean, we're volunteer coaches, right? You know, this isn't what we do as a career move. We've got a full-time jobs doing things like that. Yeah. I think sometimes we can forget that ourselves, but I'll say it now. I think it takes a lot of character from someone to be able to say, do you know what? I've done this for a number of years now. I'm pleased with what I've done, but actually I could do a bit of assistance here, and I think you might be able to help. I think that takes a lot. But more impressed, James, I was, because I've known you as a friend for a long time, and you love your football, and you know your football, and you've got strong views in it, and rightly so, and that's the kind of people you need to lead teams. But you fully embraced this. You really did. And you gave me complete free range to be able to do stuff. You never really... You questioned on football stuff, which is totally what you should be doing. But on the kind of the bit that you asked me to help out with, you not once did you put objection in. And actually, when you suggested things, I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't think that's a great idea. And I've seen you change on the... I don't know if you patronise me, but I've genuinely seen you change on the... You asked more questions than more open questions. I think you engage the boys more in the journey, the process, which I think definitely helps. I think it feels like it's more their team now as well, which I know that's what you wanted to create, but you've just found ways in which doing it, and it's been a real privilege to be involved. But it's been great seeing the progress the boys have made, and, you know, however great you were before, to see you take this stuff on as well and develop as a coach as well, it's been brilliant to watch.
Yeah, it's been a massive eye-opener for me. And I came into this from many, many years involved in adult football, not just playing football, but coaching and managing adult football as well. And my viewpoint when I came in was, look, my sons were going to be involved, so I kind of thought, well, if I'm going to be there with my sons, I'll just get involved and help out anyway. But my view was, I've played a lot of football, and there's something I can pass on here. But it didn't take long for me to realise, actually, different kettle of fish, this different, yeah, you know, completely, isn't it? Yeah. It's almost a different game.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I got so far in my journey, and I realised that actually, you know what, if you had a list of 10 things that maybe I tick the box on 6, but there's 4 that not only do I not tick the box, but I'm really struggling to get to as well. I need a bit of help. I need a bit of advice. And, you know, this is what's great about this podcast, right, is that you and I are just two lads who live around the corner from each other who like to go for a beer quite often. And we run a grassroots team, right? And, you know, if any of the stuff that we've learned along our way can help anybody else, then fantastic.
Absolutely. A little bit of a shortcut maybe to some like a better journey for the coach and the players, 100%. All right, well, we've painted a very nice picture of everything going smoothly, well, wonderful, which is great. And there was a lot of great moments after that. But, you know, like any journey, things that didn't go so well, or things you would have done different on reflection?
I think what while we were embedding all that stuff around behaviours and culture, maybe flip-flopped a little bit on football. I think, and we, you know, listen, we've said this to each other, we see the game 90% the same. 10% of it, we probably have slightly different views. And we've probably, and tell me if you think this is unfair, right, but we've probably... because of that 10%, we've lurched is a strong word, but we've moved maybe from, actually we kind of went down a road of thinking these grassroots pitches won't allow us to play our football the way we want to play, so let's start to hit good areas. Then we came back to actually, no, let's dominate the ball. Then we came back to, for example, we want to keep possession, right? So let's drop our defence a little bit deeper and build from the back. Then we got to, actually, we want to play forward more quickly. Then we got to, let's move the ball quickly. Then we got to, actually, let's move the ball with quality, you know, and these things. And don't get me wrong, this sounds like every week we were coming into training, we were telling the boys a different thing. We weren't. It was fine tuning a lot of the time. But I think if I could do something differently, we eventually settled on a way of playing and a formation, didn't we, in the second half of the season, and the boys just embraced it and adapted to it. And that's the really good thing, I think, about this group of boys. And one thing I try to focus on with them from a young age is to be a thinking footballer. And I used to say to them, oh, you know, what do you play football with? They say, your feet. I say, no, you don't. You play it with your brain. And they go, oh, yeah. And eventually that the penny dropped. What's been great about this group is that now at under-14s, they're really adaptable. And I want to give an example here. We played a county cup game against a team who won it last year, had stormed the league. I think they were now playing a year up. They also had a JPL team who'd gone and won their league. Really, listen, really good footballers. A team that had been bought together from various other clubs. So different model to what we have. And that's okay. Look, that's what, you know, that's what other teams do. We knew we couldn't out-football this team. We knew we couldn't go down the road that we wanted to in terms of dominating the ball, in terms of taking our or imposing our game on them. So actually, we just came up with a different plan. We just said, we're going to go five at the back. We're going to sit deep. We're going to let them come onto us. We're going to defend. But you know what? We've got a little bit of pace up there and we'll take our chances. And we ended up winning the game 2-1. And I think we frustrated them. I think maybe there were questions around their character towards the end of the game. I think, to be honest, their goal came from a poor free kick that we gave away on the edge of the area. Fair play to the lad. He's tucked it away. He's tucked it away brilliantly. But we absorbed everything that they had to throw at us. And we just, these lads just executed the plan brilliantly. Now, for 14-year-olds, that's not easy to do, okay? But they had the awareness and the knowledge of the game to know, no, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to keep our wing-backs tucked in. We're going to be deep. We're going to have our midfield three that are going to work as a unit. And we're going to hit our front two because they've got pace. And we did it. We won the game. And I went into that game thinking, do you know what? This is the best team around here. And they're a really good team. They're well coached. They've got really good players. I thought this is a free swing. This is a free swing for us. If we lose the game, that's okay because everyone expects us to lose it. And we'll learn loads from it. And we'll understand about where we need to go. But if we win it, you know, it'll be an upset. And we've knocked the holders out. Yeah. And we won the game. You know, they adapted so well to a different plan. That was one of the most pleasing things for me.
Well, I was going to say that question of adaptability. How much do you think that came out and part of your process focusing on behaviours? Because obviously that's not one of the key behaviours, that adaptability. But do you think the fact that you did ask more of the players to take ownership of staff, they would choose the captains, they would lead more stuff in the training sessions, does that help them build that adaptability?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the key behaviour there for me would have been the resilience. Yep. Because we're asking you lads to, listen, as an adult and as a kid, you want to go into football. And even now, if I played vet football, I'd want to get the ball and beat four players and smash them in something. I can't do that. I mean, I couldn't do it when I was young. I'm not going to do it now. But, you know, this is what the kids want to do. They want to go and play attacking football. They want to score goals. We're asking them to actually be really pragmatic, sit deep and defend. And if you're looking at that as a 14-year-old, you're thinking, oh, got my work cut out here. I don't really fancy this. But the resilience that we'd got into, the competitive nature that we'd driven into, without a shadow of a doubt, those two things. And all the behaviours, don't get me wrong, all the behaviours are teamwork. I don't want to be the one that actually doesn't, you know, play my part in this. I don't want to be the one that lets my team down because I didn't track a runner.
Yep.
Or I didn't get back. Yeah, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. You couldn't, you know, the adaptability and the awareness and everything, yeah, but they had to have that foundation. And they worked their socks off. They played a 70-minute game, probably 40 minutes without the ball, 45 minutes without the ball.
Yeah.
But they frustrated and they stopped everything this team had to come. And I'll say, this other team had a really good side.
Well, let's talk about that then. So, start of the season, your hopes was to try and win the league. Building on the under-13s work with regards to focus on attitude and behaviours and core values and that stuff, as well as looking at the football. Football was a little bit like job and change a little bit for different reasons, but landed somewhere. How did the season unfold then, under-14s? How did it all unfold?
So, we've had a really good season. I think, sorry, just to go back to the... Can I go back to the last point?
Please,
for a second?
Yeah.
One other thing that I would change there is we hit on these three key things, didn't we, the last 3 months of the season, when we knew that we were still in the League Cup. We knew we had a good chance of winning the league, and we knew we'd got past a couple of really good teams in the County Cup. So we spoke about these three things, right? About having a winning mentality, about playing our football and imposing our game, whatever that might be, whether we're attacking teams or whether we're soaking a bit of pressure and playing on the counter. But the third bit around winning the big game moments. And those big game nights, like we said, the boys could be a set piece, could be a one on one, could be a save from the goalkeeper. I mean, we've got a great goalkeeper. He's really delivered for us in big game moments in the past. But we focused on this, and I think if I look back now, so just to go on to the next question, we didn't win the league. We lost it by 3 points. We actually went unbeaten all season. So we're the only team in the league not to lose a game. But where we came unstuck was draws. And I will say one game in particular, and this is on reflection. So we played against the team that won the league. We were 1-0 up. We were in the third minute of injury time at the end of the game, and their goalkeeper came up for a corner, and we cleared it, and we broke, and the ball's come to our lad. He's on the edge of the box. He's maybe 5 foot outside the left-hand post as you looked at the goal. Open goal, no one near him, and he put it wide. This stuff happens, but that's a big game moment. They took the goal kick, they went down the other end, they won a corner, the corner comes in, they score. We didn't manage that big game moment. And I actually think that we did have a couple of other draws where we'd been ahead and we'd conceded late on, maybe from a set piece, and these things apply. But actually, if we didn't concede, either that goal goes in or we don't concede that corner, that team, 2 points chalked off, us, 2 points game, we win the league. And I think, looking back, embedding that message of big game moments, win them big moments from the start of the season. I don't know, Scott. I mean, we don't know, right? We're guessing it, I guess, to an extent. But I think if we'd have embedded that message at the start, then maybe.
Yeah.
But in terms of the rest of the season, so we did really well in the League Cup. We knocked. So the team I've just spoken about, who won the league, we played them in the quarterfinal of the cup and we beat them 4-0. Very good side, very good players. We put in a really good performance that day, really good performance. You know, I'd have to ask their coach, but I think they probably had an off day. But we beat them in the quarterfinal. In the semi-final, we went to play against a team who, again, good side, but not of the level of the team that we've just beaten. And we lost 3-1. We didn't start very well in the game. We were 2-0 down before we knew it. It's the only game we lost all season. And we didn't win it because for the first 20-25 minutes of that game, we didn't have the right attitude and we didn't approach it with the right belief. And I think maybe there was an element of complacency in the first 20 minutes there. Maybe. But we played in the County Cup, which I guess was the harder of the three games to win. And we won the County Cup. And it was just a phenomenally good day, right? And we didn't do it easy either.
What about the journey to get there? Because I think that's important, right? Because I think that you can get to a cup final and, you know, you might win a cup the day just by being a bit of luck. But actually, I think the interesting bit about this is actually the journey the boys took to get there, because it wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't. We played the holders. We played the team that won the strongest league in our area. We played the team that were runners-up, I think, last year as well. We had to go to a couple of not great places. You know, we also played another team who, I mean, our boys are good. Physically, they're not the biggest. We played against a team who turned up, and I was thinking, oof, I wouldn't fancy this. I'm 48-year-old bloke. And as I say, I go back to that sort of character and resilience. But these boys did not do it the easy way. There was no easy draws in this for us. Everything was a challenge and a battle. And, you know, you and I had spoken and gone, bit of a free hit, this one. We're not expected to win. Next round.
We'll learn today.
Big lesson for the lads. They need to understand what it takes to win these sort of games. And we win it. We go to the next one. I mean, the semi-final, their striker was I think he would have dwarfed Peter Crouch. And, you know, he was huge. And they were a good side. And we were playing on, it was almost like Hackney Marshes, this place, wasn't there? There were so many pitches. But our lads were just fantastic. I mean, we were 2-0 up with 20 minutes to go, and we knew that they were going to put us under pressure. They did. They fired long balls into the box. They put big lads up front, and they really put us under a lot of pressure, and our lads held out. And again, it came back to that character piece. And then in the final, we'd done our homework, hadn't we, really? You know, we'd watched the opposition, a good side, really good side, a couple of really good players. One boy in that final really impressed me. We didn't have our best first half. I think it's fair to say we didn't. They were probably slightly the better side. I don't think there have been huge chances for either side in the first half, but they probably slightly edged it. And this, again, coming back to that adaptability, we changed from a back three to a back four because we had to put someone on this boy who was kind of dictating the play a little bit, albeit from deep, but he was. And our lads just adapted to it. We made a couple of changes. And again, it was that belief, and you could see something in them, couldn't you? You could see, well, we've been here before, we've been in cup finals before, we've been in finals of tournaments before, and actually, if it's not going our way, you kind of think this is gonna be hard work. But you could see something in them, I think, at half time that was like, no, we're gonna go and win this now. And we ended up winning the game 3-0, and it was genuinely, in terms of my coaching career, it was the best moment I've had. My gut feel, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's probably the best or one of the best that you've had. More importantly for the boys, whatever happens, like, they'll look back on that. You know, we had a party afterwards, and I think the adults enjoyed that more than the boys, I think. But yeah. You know, we had a party afterwards, and
we had the party. I think we had the party kind of booked for the end of the season, didn't we? Anyway, because it was just a convenient time to do it, so it wasn't to celebrate. We didn't anticipate winning the cup, and we were almost prepared to go, well, will it be okay to go to the party still if we've not won it? We wouldn't be gutted, and we'd kind of spoke to the boys about, look, of course you want to win, and rightly so, but getting to the cup final is, you know, this is a big thing, so, you know, we are going to celebrate that regardless.
Anyway, but it did help.
Oh
yeah, it definitely helped. But like you say, you know, by that point we had been through a league season and beaten, we haven't won the league, but they just, do you know what, I just think you've got to even celebrate, if whatever team you're, celebrate the fact that boys have progressed.
Yeah.
Celebrate the fact that they come to training week in, week out, and they put the effort in. Celebrate the fact that you're all moving forward developmentally, you know, and like, you know, you and I spoke before, and we sort of said, well, do you know what, even if we lose the cup final, maybe it's a really good way for them just to think, well, do you know what, it is just football at the end of the day, and we'll enjoy ourselves with our friends. But like you say, actually getting over the line and winning the game just was the icing on the cake.
In the cup final, what was quite interesting, I thought, I had watched the game before, which I think was under 13s, I'm not sure, it might have been under 12s, I think it was under 13s. And they were, I think, 1 or 2 nil down, this team. And because there was the delay, wasn't there, for whatever reason, there was the delay between our game starting. So I was watching it. I was standing kind of just where the coach talking to the players, just out of the way a little bit. I didn't mean to be, I was having to be a coincidence. And the players were like, wanted to change formation. And he was quite abrupt in his response to it about, you know, using language that you probably wouldn't want to use with that age group. But he was pretty, he was like, no, we'll do it our way, you do it properly, you do it how I've told you to do it, and, you know, and it will happen, you watch. And he was really dismissive, and I could see the boys' body language, like, it was really, they were really deflated. I didn't see the second half because we were going to prepare our boys, but I think they lost the game 6-2, that team. And look, no one wants to see anyone lose, but I did feel quite, that's quite heavy-handed the way that coach dealt with it. I don't know if you recall this, but do you remember what happened at half-time with the boys, what they asked about? You might not remember this because it's all a bit of a haze.
Were they asking about putting an extra man in midfield?
Yeah, they were. They were asking to change it. And you were like, we got this. We got this. Yeah. You know, what do you want to do? Listen to him. And I thought, gosh, if you compare the two things, now look, I mentioned the results might have been indifferent either way. But I think that, to me, that's a beautiful moment where you've got one coach where the players are happy to come up, not grumpy. It was nil-nil anyway. They weren't having a moan or a whinge. Just saying, that coach, what about this as an idea? And you're like, okay, yeah, we've been thinking about that. We've chatted about, yeah, we're on it. I think that's great. I think it's good. How's it going to work? And just that, to me, was almost worthy of the win. Now, don't get me wrong, I think the other team seemed like a nice coach as well, and like we played against, they seemed absolutely great, so I'm not knocking them. But in comparison to the other team that's playing on the game before us, to me, that's good coaching. You know, you've got the player engagement, they're listening, you've listened to them, and you've found something that everyone agrees on, and then when you go out and actually it delivers as well, and, you know, in practice, that's even better, obviously, but at least it's been a joined-up approach, right, to trying to solve a problem.
Definitely. And that didn't come just from that game, did it? That came from the last 2 or 3 years of, actually, let's take them on a journey with us. It's their team. So they know that they can come to us now and say, hang on a minute, you've got to get an extra lad in here with us, whatever it might be. And, I mean, like you say, you know, I don't think it was coincidence that you and I were thinking the same thing that they were thinking. I think it's...
But it was nice they could say it, right? And it's nice they absolutely get a positive response. They could have a voice and it was listened to. And I honestly think if there's something different we hadn't said, you would listen to anyone and be, okay, well, let's look at that. And that's the environment. And I think that helps.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so. And I think, you know, as I say, these things don't come, you know, overnight. You can't just think, well... Actually, lads, what do you think? Because if you haven't given them any sort of, if you haven't given any of them say for 5 years, and your lads, what do you think? They'll just go, we don't think about anything. We just do what you tell us to do.
You got to create that environment, haven't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Brilliant. All right. So superb. Well done. It was a great season. I'll take it now to say thank you very much for letting me be part of it, and I was a small piece of the puzzle. I know I was.
Not at all. You've been a big piece, definitely.
It was a magic moment, and we got photos of the boys celebrating. And look, commiserations to the team. I thought they were a fantastic team as well. They had some great players, great attitude, great everything else. And to play a final in that spirit, I think, I genuinely hope they do really, really well next season and stuff like that. And it'd be nice to play them again in the final next season.
Indeed.
But we'll see. But whatever, they were, it was a nice team to play against. Actually, maybe a bit like us. Maybe in some ways a bit too nice in some ways without being critical, because you want these games,
previously,
right?
Previously, yeah. 100%.
But we might have been that team, but it was our day that day, which is great. But the journey was the most important part. All right. Plans for next season then. So how do you move on from here?
So I think the focus is going to... The balance will tip more towards the football again now, without a shadow of a doubt. What I really want to do, and I mentioned this before about maybe a little bit, we sort of had this formation and this plan and this formation and this plan. I want to get a plan at the start of the season. When I say a plan, I'm not talking about a particular formation. I'm not talking about not being adaptable in certain games. But I want to have a plan, and this is how we're going to play for, and I want to get really good at it.
Like your principles of play?
Principles of play, 100%. But what I want is everybody on the same page. Everybody understanding this is how we play. So actually, do you know what? If I'm playing right wing and the ball's at left back, I know exactly where I need to be and what I need to do. Like, I want to get everybody... the game awareness be so great that wherever the ball is on that pitch, every boy knows what they're doing. Every boy knows. And this, I'm not talking about being prescriptive, I'm not talking about being a game of chess.
Yep.
But even that anticipation. So if
it's not a playbook, is it? Like it is in American football.
Of course, it's football. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if I'm at left back, or the ball's at left back, for example, and I'm playing right wing, like I say, actually, do you know what? Maybe I'm just going to tuck in a little bit here. That ball gets switched across to the right back. Actually, poof, here I go, choking my boots. That type of thing. I want everybody to
one brain football.
One brain football. We've got to have a plan. We've got to know what we're doing, and when we've got to go and execute it. And I want to get really, really good at that. And if we do that, then with the lads that we've got, I think that's a really tough team to play. Get in and out of possession. The other thing though is, so when I say the balance will shift towards the football, I will continue to reiterate our behaviours, because it doesn't matter if you're the best football team in the world, if you don't try, you don't turn up with the right attitude, you don't train well, then you're literally taking 30% off what you, maybe more, off what you can do. So those behaviours will remain, those expectations, behaviours will remain important. Everyone's got to have an impact, everyone's got to do their bit for the team, all that type of thing. That'll still remain important, but I think the focus that we had on that at 13s and 14s, I just think it's embedded in and around, So actually we can focus a little bit more on the football. But again, as coach, you've got to be flexible. So I think if we see maybe the bad habits creeping in, if we see something that isn't right, that balance tips and we go back to the behaviours. But absolutely next season, I've said this to you many, many times. I've had ultimate satisfaction in the past that coaches have come up to me and said, your team plays really good football. Your team plays great football. We haven't played against a team who plays as good a football. And I like that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not for one second suggesting I'd rather have that than win a cup or something along those lines. But I want both. And I want, other coaches. A coach texted me a little while ago and just said, look, just want to say that your team plays the best football that we've come up against. You've got some really good boys, some really talented boys, and they play in the right way, in the right spirit, football wise, but actually values wise as well. You don't get aggro off our boys, you don't get nonsense off our boys, and that means a huge amount to me. So we're going to really, really double down on those things, I think. And do you know what, and you and I have had this conversation as well, can you play expansive, brilliant football on some of the cabbage patches that we go to? Then probably not, but that's where you've got to be a little bit adaptable, a little bit clever, lads. Okay, so
have a few different tools in your locker that you can pull out and 100%. Deliver on. That is a challenge, and I think that's where I didn't necessarily help, because I thought it was impossible to play any kind of good football, like especially from November through to probably February, March time. The pitches, and it's definitely hard, but you know, okay, you might. I think what I've learned from the last two seasons is you can. You'd have to just work twice as hard for maybe a third of the result, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So you'd only get maybe three or four great patterns of play in a whole game of football, but actually, there might be the three or four that get you the goal. Right? Actually, don't give up on it. Just recognise. You know, you're going to have to work for moments rather than like dominating halves, you know, and that's the reality.
But wouldn't it be great as well if we got to a stage where the boys are going, right, we turn up on a day in, the lads are on the pitch and go, right, it's crap down the middle here, there's no grass.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, either Willett channels in behind the fullback, or just let's just get the ball out wide and see how we can play.
Yep.
That realisation from the boys.
No problem at all, we can do it.
Brilliant. They can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd if they came to me and they said, listen, James, we're not going to dominate possession today. We're not going to want to play through the middle or build from the back. Actually, what we're really going to want to do is get the ball into our fullbacks and try and get them just to knock it over over their fullbacks and get our wide men chasing them. I'd go, lads, fill your boots.
Fill your boots, yeah.
Yeah, here you go. You know, if you've got a plan, go and execute it.
And that's the other thing about this team, though. I think what they'll do is they're happy to make change in the moment because you don't know what position you're going to face. Even if you're playing the same team, you know, pretty well. You know, let's be honest, kids' football, they can have different players out. Those players can have different days where they're sometimes left back's flying or the right wing is having a bad day or something. They're just different things, aren't they? And to be able to say, right, today we've got to make this change, you know, because it's going to work for us better. Having that adaptability again, which is a word that keeps cropping up, which I wasn't expecting today, but that's probably been one of the biggest things about the last season or two is that the players' ability to be adaptable. It's been fantastic, and actually it's a great tool to have in locker, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I genuinely think that was one of the things that got us over the line in the, not just the cup final, but the run up to the cup final, is how we adapted to playing against teams who were technically probably slightly better than us, technically or physically much bigger than us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or going to play on a hill.
Finding a solution to the problem that was in front of you.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's a good point, because I think it'd been nice to have won the league this season, you know, and we were literally, you know, one goal, 1 second away from probably that potentially happening. But I thought last season we were a game away from it. So, okay, we've gone from a game away, 70 minutes away from it, to being literally probably seconds away from it. So, you know, there is still progress. But, yeah, well done. It's been a fantastic journey, and I know it's ongoing, and you've had this for a long time. I've had the privilege of coming in for just a small part of the longer journey, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the boys move on in the next year or two. I know stuff's never easy, but spinning that play around behaviours and the attitude, and also picking up football stuff, I totally think that's where this team needs to go, and you're dead right, and I'm sure they're going to enjoy what lays ahead for them for the next season.
Absolutely.
Okay, final question. I think you answered my last time. I'm sure you did, but in case it's changed or something different, if there was one thing you changed about the world of coaching?
Oh, yeah. Well, there isn't one. There's a fair few, to be honest.
Half an hour of the podcast now.
Yeah. Listen, I keep this brief, and you know this stuff anyway, because you and I talk about it a lot. But since I started coaching, it's only 11 years ago since I started grassroots coaching, because I'd done my older son's team for a little while. What the biggest change for me is, it's becoming very commercial now, grassroots football. We are a grassroots club. We don't have an adult pathway into football. We're just a grassroots club. What I see a lot is these teams cropping up now who are high subscription. They're called such and such an academy. They're not an academy. They're called such and such an academy. They give you the promise of trials, yet they've got seven teams playing
for elite under sixes.
Yeah, yep. Elite under sixes. They want experienced under sevens.
Yeah.
You know, they come to grassroots clubs like ours, and they take players. They promise the earth, this, that, and the other. And I think that's the biggest change for me. And I don't like it. I think it almost is more about the coaches sometimes. It's their living, right? They're earning a living from it. But I think that they want to be, we're going to win this trophy, we've won the JPL, we've won this, that and the other, because it attracts more boys in, therefore they get more revenue. I mean, I've had a couple of people say to me, I mean, I know one team who charge £80 a month, and that's annual to play. We charge £175, I think.
For the year.
Yeah,
yeah.
For the year. And there isn't any difference. They're playing in the same leagues.
Yeah.
you know, but it's definitely a commercialising of it. And I think all that will lead to is, when I said to you before about development and enjoyment, I think that will lead to a drop off in that. and grassroots clubs like ours will not be able to compete in the top leagues anymore. You'll end up with a grassroots club like ours who have an A team or a top team who will be in Division 4,
yeah.
whereas previously they were in Division 1, because they can't compete with these teams who go and cherry pick the best boys and just go and dominate and win leagues. We're very lucky, and I think in our team, in that, as I say, we've got a core group of boys. They were talented footballers. I got lucky with this group of boys, no doubt about it. You know, I can go on about, well, we've done this coaching and we've done that coaching, and we have, but we did get lucky, and we had a group of boys that that could play and love their football. But there'll come an occasion, I think, at some point in the future, where you've got a village like ours with a group of boys, and they won't play together because they'll be playing for different this academy, that academy.
Yeah,
and that's
it does feel
shame.
It's changed, doesn't it, a little bit? Well, I guess that things do evolve. Maybe that's just part of what's going to happen in football. I think the challenge for grassroots clubs step up and say, do you know what? We're a better environment and a better journey for your players. Be here with us, and that's what grassroots
Hopefully.
Clubs need to try and do. Say, do you know what? We've got the resources, we've got the trustees, the chair people, everything else to make this work. But you know, we'll compete with the private academies that are charging a fortune and come to us. Whether that'll happen, that we'll see. But
I hope so. And I don't get me wrong. I mean, grassroots clubs like ours, they have the resources to do it, right? It's got to be the will. But yeah, that is certainly, if you look at, think about the league table and teams we used to play under 7s and 8s, it's completely different.
100%, yeah, it really has. James, thank you so much. That's been a pleasure again. I hope it's been useful for people listening. I'm sure I'd want to hear this if I was, you know, maybe coaching the 10s, 11s, 12s, 13s team and see what's coming ahead. So thank you so much for that. If people want to reach out to you and have more questions about the podcast or just about your coaching journey and tap into some of your knowledge, is there a way they can do that?
They can. And since we last spoke, I've actually gone onto Twitter. So I now have a Twitter handle.
You'll be at Instagram in no time.
Well, I don't know about that. I was calling it InstaChat for a long time. I got that wrong. But so I'm at Rubbish Knees,
right.
As in my knees don't work very well. At Rubbish Knees. Can I do a shameless plug on this?
Definitely.
So,
as long as it's not for your full-time job.
No, definitely not. I have... I'm doing the Great South Run in October to raise money for motor neurons disease, which is an awful, awful, cruel disease. It's affected my family. So I'm going to post a link on there. If anybody wants to support a great cause, that's where it'll be, out on Twitter, at Rubbish Knees. And, you know, if anybody does want to donate, then I thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do then, if it's okay. We'll make this, our wonderful sponsors who sponsored the episode, their contribution to this episode will go towards that cause.
Fantastic.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Yes, there you go.
We've
got something straight away.
Yep.
And what we'll do is we'll put the link to that, if we can, in the show notes, but certainly we'll put a link to your Twitter handle in there as well, so people can find if they want to.
And
okay.
Hopefully the Rubbish Knees will hold out. Right? That's the thing. But thank you.
Brilliant, yep. Thanks. Thanks, James.
Thank you very much.
Good luck for next season.
Thank you.
This episode was brought to you in association with our friends at Soccer Coach Weekly. Established since 2006, Soccer Coach Weekly is a leading source of inspiration and advice for all grassroots coaches. Join thousands of youth soccer coaches just like you, saving time and effort in their goal of having the most effective, enjoyable and successful coaching journey for them and their players. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode.